Let's read together 2 Kings chapter 24. In this chapter, we have the records of the last three kings of Judah, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 7 about the reign of Jehoiakim. 2 Kings chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his vassal for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Syrians, bands of Moabites, and bands of the people of Ammon. He sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servants, the prophets. Truly, at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed. For he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim rested with his fathers. Then Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place. And the king of Egypt did not come out of his land anymore, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. Soon after the Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC, in which Babylon defeated Egypt, Babylon made its first invasion of Judah during the reign of Jehoiakim. Now it's important to realize that in these last two chapters of 2 Kings, we have three major invasions of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. In verse 1, we have the first invasion in 605 BC, as we've seen. In verse 10, we have the second invasion in 597 BC during the reign of Jehoiachin. And it was during this second invasion that the prophet Ezekiel was taken to Babylon, along with many other captives. And then in verse 1 of chapter 25, we have the third and final invasion of Judah and Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians during the reign of Zedekiah. The city of Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians in 586 BC, and the beautiful temple of the Lord that Solomon had built was destroyed by fire. So there were three invasions of Judah and Jerusalem by the Babylonian armies. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for 2 Kings chapter 24. Doctrinal point number one. The past prophecies of judgment were fulfilled just as the Lord had said. The past prophecies of judgment were fulfilled just as the Lord had said. Verses 8 through 16. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city as his servants were besieging it. Then Jehoiachin, king of Judah, his mother, his servants, his princes, and his officers went out to the king of Babylon. And the king of Babylon, in the 8th year of his reign, took him prisoner. And he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he cut in pieces all the articles of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. Also he carried into captivity all Jerusalem, all the captains and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. And he carried Jehoiachin captive to Babylon, the king's mother, the king's wives, his officers, and the mighty of the land he carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. All the valiant men, 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all who were strong and fit for war, these the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. Notice how throughout this sad record, it is emphasized that all these invasions of Judah and Jerusalem were not by chance, but just as the Lord had said. Verse 13, once again, and he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he cut in pieces all the articles of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord as the Lord had said. And look back at verse 2. And the Lord sent against Jehoiakim raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Syrians, bands of Moabites, and bands of the people of Ammon. He, that is the Lord, sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servants the prophets. And verse 3, surely at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah, to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done. Now these prophecies of judgment were not just recent. It wasn't like the Lord all of a sudden began to pronounce judgment. No. The prophets over the years were predicting judgment if God's people would not turn from their wicked ways. From the time of Moses all the way down to the time of the Babylonian invasions, the prophets had foretold of the coming judgments and the fact that God would have to remove his people from the land for their sins of idolatry and immorality. Listen to the prophecy of Jeremiah, which Jeremiah pronounced during the siege of the third invasion. I'm reading Jeremiah chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. Gather up your wares from the land, O inhabitant of the fortress, for thus says the Lord, behold, I will throw out at this time the inhabitants of the land. Jeremiah 10, verses 17 and 18. What a vivid description of what God had to do in his righteous judgment. He had to throw or sling the people out of the land. All of these prophecies of judgment, of course, from the time of Moses down to the time of Jeremiah, all came to pass in every detail. The past prophecies of judgment were fulfilled just as the Lord had said. Doctrinal point number 2. The future prophecies of judgment would be fulfilled just as the Lord had said. The future prophecies of judgment would be fulfilled just as the Lord had said. Now, when we say future here, we don't mean future to us, but future to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, who were facing the Babylonian invasions and still didn't think that the kingdom would fall. Let's read the last few verses of the chapter concerning the reign of Zedekiah, verses 17 through 20. 2 Kings chapter 24, beginning now at verse 17. Then the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jehoiakim's uncle, king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah. And he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Since Zedekiah was the uncle of Jehoiakim, he was the brother of Jehoiakim, as well as the brother of Jehoahaz, all three sons of Josiah. In fact, we see in verse 18 that Zedekiah had the same mother as Jehoahaz, according to 2 Kings 23, verse 31, Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. Remember, this Jeremiah is not the same man as Jeremiah the prophet. Let's read verse 20 here once again. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, and he finally cast them out from his presence. Notice the phrase, until he threw them out or cast them out from his presence. We need to recognize what the conditions were in Judah at the time of Zedekiah. Two invasions by the Babylonians had already taken place, and many people had already been taken into captivity in line with the prophecies of judgment, as we've seen. But Jerusalem had still not fallen, and the temple was still standing. And many of the people in Jerusalem, as well as the captives in Babylon, thought that even though Jerusalem was under siege, God would never let the city of his temple fall. After all, 100 years before this time, during the reign of King Hezekiah, God had miraculously delivered Jerusalem from the siege of Sennacherib, king of Assyria. But both Ezekiel, prophesying in Babylon, and Jeremiah, prophesying in Jerusalem, said, no, I'm so sorry. The prophecies of judgment against Judah and Jerusalem that are still not fulfilled will be fulfilled. They will be fulfilled just as the Lord has said. Listen to Jeremiah's rebuke of the people in Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 4. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house? And Ezekiel, in a series of dramatic object lessons down in Babylon, warned the captives in Babylon about having any false hopes of Jerusalem not falling to the enemy. It was just a matter of time. The prophecies of the destruction of the temple as part of God's judgment went all the way back to the time of King Solomon, who built the temple. I'm reading 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. The Lord said to Solomon, "But if you or your sons at all turn from following me, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, 'Why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house?' Then they will answer, 'Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore the Lord has brought all this calamity on them.'" 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. So here at the time of 2 Kings chapter 24, as the past prophecies of judgment were fulfilled just as the Lord had said, so the future prophecies of judgment would be fulfilled just as the Lord had said. Now, what about practical application from 2 Kings chapter 24? Remember, judgment begins with the household of God. Remember, judgment begins with the household of God. At the time of the Babylonian invasions, if you were just a casual onlooker, you would hardly have thought that Israel was God's favored and chosen people. It would look like the pagan Babylonians were more blessed. But from the divine perspective, this was God's discipline of his chosen people. Well, why not the Babylonians? Listen, we know that God did judge the Babylonians, but judgment begins with the household of God. This is a divine principle, and it is stated explicitly in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. So if you ever wonder why God seems to be coming down hard on you while all your friends and neighbors and colleagues seem to be getting away with it, remember, judgment begins with the household of God.